Now, if you will, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to talk about sex so that I can keep you awake in this afternoon session here. I would like this to be somewhat of a dialogue. I'm going to ask you some questions here have some discussion as well, so it's not just me talking at you, but talking with you and discussing some things here. So Proverbs chapter 7. Here's what I want to start the question with. The world's view of intimacy is very attractive. And I'm going to show you this from Proverbs chapter 7. And think about how the world presents intimacy. And then I want you to contrast that with, how many times the church presents intimacy. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. Solomon is looking out at the window of his house, and I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youth a young man lacking sense, passing through the streets near her corner, and he takes the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him. She's dressed as a harlot and cunning in heart, but she's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now in the squares. She lurks by every corner. That is Solomon's description of what is about to happen. But now here's the young man's perspective that is being enticed. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, "I was due to offer peace offerings, and today I have paid my vows." What that means is this, that in the ancient Near East, the sacrifices there, I paid my peace offerings today, and as you do the sacrifices, certain offerings, you get to take portions of it home. So she gets to take a little bit of T-bone steak home tonight as well. And so she says, "Today I paid my vows, and therefore the way to a man's heart is through his what? Through his stomach. So therefore I've come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you, and I have spread my couches with covering, with colored linens of Egypt, and I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning, and let us delight ourselves with caresses. My husband is not home. There's no danger here. It's a safe thing. He has gone on a long journey and taken plenty of money with him, so you don't have to worry about anything. This is going to be safe." And with her many persuasions, she entices him. The world's view of intimacy. How is it portrayed? How is it portrayed? Right there. How is it portrayed? The world's view of intimacy. What? Exciting. A pleasure. How else is it portrayed? Okay, the sex is pleasurable. No consequences to it as well. So what? It's safe. If you were comparing it to a restaurant meal, what meal would it be? What? T-bone steaks, or the best steakhouse down the road here, Mountain Jack's or Longhorn's, one of those. And what? And free, even better. Doesn't cost you anything. Now, we haven't read the rest of this, but we're not going to. But the world portrays it in that way. Now, here's the question. How does the church portray intimacy? And I'm not saying everybody, every church, but in general, Christians and their view of intimacy. What do you think? Shameful. Sometimes we're shamed of it. Okay? What else would you say? I mean, if you're contrasting Mountain Jack's, and those of you who know me, I've used the Mountain Jack's illustration before, but I'm kind of turning it on its head for just a moment. Yes, right back here. It's rarely talked about. But if the world's view wrong, enticingly is Mountain Jack's, how would you compare the church's view talking to our children? I was thinking of maybe like beef jerky, tough and chewy, and kind of when we do it, we just have to do it to make kids, and that's kind of it. And when we get our kids, we're kind of done with it. And I don't mean to be too hard on our churches, but that does seem to be the case. Now, what is reality biblically is the biblical reality is so far above Mountain Jack's. the best thing on earth that I can think of, and this is just my own, you can tell me, but like something like the churrascarias or the Fogo de Chao or something like that. Anybody been there? Have you heard about it? So Fogo de Chao's meal is what God has for us. And the world's view is maybe like, and this is where I'm getting back to what you probably know, White Castle laced with Sinai. I mean, really, so it's non-nutritious, but it's ultimately deadly. So what God offers in biblical marriage is so far above what the world, but our kids are attracted to what the world would have to offer. Why is this such an awkward conversation to have? You guys are track four, you're probably very, very mature, so it's not awkward for you anymore, but why is it hard for your neighbor to talk to their kids about this? I'm just joking, you know, but the reason why we're not bold and unashamed with our talk of this is because in our own lives and marriages, it's not good. We're not practicing intimacy God's way. And you can only do so much if you're in a marriage where your spouse is not following the Lord. Okay? Or you're not following the Lord. Yes. Why is this awkward for us? If I talk to you about it, I've messed up in the past. If I talk to you about it, I'm exposed. Okay? Or give you ideas that you would never have if I talk to you about it. So the shame involved. So number one, we're not practicing it God's way. Number two, the shame because of our past. Yes, right here.
We haven't been taught properly.
I haven't heard it from the pulpit. But let me say first, it's not first from the pulpit. It's not first from the pulpit. Where is it first from? Okay, scriptures. Yeah, you got me there. It's from Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. And that's right. He wrote the scriptures. So parents. So I've done 60 weddings up to this point in my life. And that, accompanying that is 60 premarriage counseling cases. And accompanying that in the last session, I always talk about sex. And I ask the question, did your parents talk to you about this? And 59 out of 60 will say, none. So where are they learning and where were they attracted to their views of sex? Everywhere else, that seems to be giving them Mountain Jacks, but it's really White Castle laced with Sinai. And what the church gave them, if anything, or their parents gave them, if anything, is the granola or the beef jerky. It's no wonder we're having problems. What else was somebody going to say? Yes.
I was going to say the young age.
We don't think carefully about age appropriate.
Yeah, we think it's so soft.
Right. Yes. One time, I have the talk, okay, when they're 34, and then... And that's our problem.
And we don't normally get blessing from God.
We do not portray it as exciting or blessed from God. If we explain it too much, if we explain it so much, it'll be so beautiful, they'll run right after it. Okay, so Song of Solomon says, do not awaken love before it so desires. Guys, I'm gonna challenge us on that, because that is, when I talk about this, this is the natural pushback. Song of Solomon, don't awaken love before it's ready. I'm going to say, how is our approach working so far? By withholding it. I believe giving them a vision for Fogo de Chao and the best meal on earth, so to speak, may help stem that and contrast it with what the world does give, the White Castle laced with Sinai. So what would you say over here?
Past suffering.
Past suffering, meaning that I was abused. Yeah. Or, okay, so not just I participated in sexual immorality, but it was perpetuated on me. And that goes back to my own shame as well, in some way that what happened to me, I'm responsible for or I carry